Science.
Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have standing room only up here in the front section. You didn't have to leave. But I do like people sitting in front of me. That makes me feel good. Welcome to the Lord's house this day. We're virtually a month away to the first week of Lent, which will begin with Ash Wednesday in March. Let you know, it's right around the corner for us. And obviously, for those who listen to us by either podcast or by radio, if you listen from outside of Port Huron, this is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thawed a little. And then we'll lose it again. That's Michigan. And it's still the season. Just kind of acknowledged in the front cover of that, we are a week away from acknowledging and having a celebration of our 99th birthday anniversary of our Savior. People have been gathering resources. We've been talking among ourselves to find artifacts that we can either duplicate or gift to the congregation, that we can put it as part of our archives of our Savior. We received a generous one about 6 months ago. Gal was just cleaning her house. Her husband never told her. He stashed his baptismal certificate in a part of the house. She found it in cleaning up 8 years after his passing. She found his baptismal certificate. That's the oldest one we have in our midst. He was baptized here at Our Savior as an infant. And that was back, I believe, in the 20s, or early 30s. So this congregation was just getting started. Next week, we have a celebration meal. I hope you can join us after the second service. Last week, we had an anniversary celebration, more of the birthday, of Anne McCrae. You'll see pictures on the back table. She was 92 exactly on that day. So her family and we here at the congregation, our ladies, put on a wonderful spread and fellowship time for all of us. So we thank them for that. Our radio sponsor this week is one from the community who has sponsored and carried us when our own members have not sponsored a broadcast. We appreciate, because this person and couple are not members of our Savior, but are generous to support the radio ministry, and they listen to us. That's what's incredible. So we thank them generously for that support. Our worship begins then with confession and forgiveness. Please rise with me. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and who calls us, who unites us and then sends us. Amen. Gathered into God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts and everything we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. So hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and that you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, it's my strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. We sing our first hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above.
I was thinking to relate that hymn to the season we're in, Epiphany. The season of Epiphany is for the church to make Christ present and to tell the story and to sing the hymn is a way we visualize and communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise this day is, Lord, I lift your name on high. We sing. With you. If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, we pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love, that we may obtain what you promise and make us love what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, have the first reading this day by Jane Borntraeger.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet and consecrates him in the womb. Jeremiah's task is to preach God's word in the midst of a difficult political realities of his time, before the Babylonian exile. He is to make God known not only to Judah, but also to the nations. Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jane. Second reading this day, Kathy Cole.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The second reading comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may be that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kathy. If you're able to stand, please rise for the gospel acclamation. We speak it together. Hallelujah. You shall go to all to whom I send you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Hallelujah. The gospel for this day is from Luke's gospel, 4th chapter, beginning with verse 21. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to say to all, that is all in the synagogue in Nazareth, last week's reading, when he took the scroll of Isaiah, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of Jesus, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But they said, is this not Joseph's son? They said to him, and he said to them, doubtless you're going to quote for me this proverb, doctor, cure yourself. And you will say, do here all that in your hometown that you have done in Capernaum. But Jesus said, truly, I'm going to tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is that where there are many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, no rain, there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of those people, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers, people with the disease of leprosy in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha. And none of them were cleansed except Naaman. He wasn't even Hebrew, he was a Syrian. When they heard this, all the synagogue was filled with rage. They got up, they drove him out of town. They led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they may hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus was able to pass through the midst of them, and he went on his way. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day and always. Amen. Looking at the Word of God this day, there is an underlying theme for the lessons. I see it as one that kind of says, you know, from the Old Testament, the old ways of ordering ourselves and understanding and comprehending the divine God, to even this time, there is a sense that God has guided us throughout the centuries, throughout the years, through all the changes to guide us to his path and to do his will. A lot of times people say, well, where is God? What's he doing? Why is he waiting? Answer is, we don't understand it. But God fully has a plan operative right now, operating to bring to the fullness of time a culmination of the ages. You look at Jeremiah, basically 600 years before Christ's birth. He understands his call was a unique one. He understood that he was called before he was even born. He understood that God had put his finger on Jeremiah to speak God's word for the operative plan that God was bringing to pass. He would be a young man in his initial call. There'll be times God will renew him because he renounced it later on in his adult years. He was fed up. I mean, everybody was criticizing him, finding fault with him, wanting to kill him in his adult years. I didn't sign up for this, Lord. Yet you put this before me. Here I am. And I think you've lied to me. You have become a burden to me. Yeah, that's another part of Jeremiah. You got to read the prophet to understand his struggle. As a young man, he was called. A lot of times people think, oh, you got to go to school, seminary, or something to be a mouthpiece for God. Heresy. It's nothing like that in Scripture. When God's Spirit comes upon a person, God equips them with what is needed for the task. He will do it in the time being that God has chosen. He doesn't leave us, and we've been talking the last several weeks about the gifts God gives to us. And a lot of times when you present that in a study fashion with people sitting in a room around each other in chairs, they'll say, well, I don't see any that speaks to me. I don't have anything. And that's just not true. But sometimes we underestimate how God can use each and every one of us. We have been gifted people, not only to speak, many can do. Kind of interesting to see the mixture when our congregations get together, whether they're Lutheran or Old Town, we tap into the spirit of each other's life and we find how mighty God can be when God's people work together for the common good, for the body of Christ, his church. When we tap into that, we realize the beauty of it, the diversity we have, and the strength we have in the midst of that diversity. So as Jeremiah gets this signal, and he's recounting from an adult point of view, obviously, what it was like getting this call. The Lord has touched his lips. The Lord says, now I have put my word in you. You will take that word out to the world. God has worked with you, I dare say. Some are embarrassed when they say, well, I didn't go to church much as a child. Or others will say, I got so many attendance pins when I was in Sunday school. There is so much diversity. I never won a pin for perfect attendance. But I sure absorbed what I heard and became to believe. God takes that variety. He takes seriously that we are gifted from birth, baptism, to the grave, that we are the people of God. And God will give us the power like he gave to Jeremiah. Can you imagine if a child is given this heavy load, as he says, Jeremiah says, you're going to say words out there that are going to affect the fate of humankind and nations. You're only a little child, but my word has such power, such strength, that if you speak it, it will come to pass. And that's probably the hardest thing for us who look back over, 2,500 years and say, wow, God does have power in God's word. Second reading, 1 Corinthians 13. I had to chuckle every time I hear it. It's kind of nice to listen to the reading rather than my providing reading. Because most of the time, I've got a scared groom, a shaking bride, and Pastor, can we move on? Do we have to read the Bible here? And it's like, no, we do. The passage of Corinthians, the love chapter, is not one that is reserved for weddings. Okay? This is dealing with the life of the church. We just heard in the last 2 weeks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're to build up, encourage one another to do the common work of the Lord. So, now we come to the best gift. There's much diversity and conflict in the Church of Corinth. There were those who thought of themselves as the super Christians. They had a close relationship with Jesus because they spoke in tongues. Then there were others who just felt like, well, maybe I'm a nobody, and maybe God doesn't care about my position in the body of Christ, the church. Paul says, no, I'm going to advocate for everybody. There are gifts aplenty, and they are given for all to benefit, not just a few people's egos. So in the context of the conflict of the church of Corinth, Paul speaks the word about love. If you have any gift, the greatest of them is love. Now, you can't compromise that word. If you think you're a super Christian over other people because you do a few things or you know something others don't know, and you're arrogant, proud, and boastful, you'll notice that nowhere does it say that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, because it's not. Love is not boastful, right? Paul says. Love is patient. Love is kind. During the second service, if the youth will go along with me for the children's message, I'm going to ask them to describe, not read, describe to me what love is. Not philosophical, but in terms of action, behavior. How is a person kind? How is a person patient? There are times I sit in a doctor's office, I don't meet the test. Love is not envious. Do you look at other people and say, hey, he's getting more attention than me? Or why didn't they name me also? Okay. Envious. How about boastful? Arrogant. Wear their faith on their outside rather than on the inside. How about downright rude? You ever see some wonderful Christians downright rude? Does not insist upon its own way. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. Doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, it rejoices in truth. Love's going to bear all things, believes all things, hopes all things, love endures all things. Kind of interesting, over the years that my wife and I did marriage enrichment weekends for couples, sometimes after being married, maybe a year or maybe 2 weeks, one of the exercises was to face each other as a couple, knee to knee. Now we're getting intimate. And you say, 5 things I appreciate about you. I remember when Cheryl and I participated in it before we put it to other people, I just sat there. I appreciate. Now, if you would have asked me to say what was wrong and what I'd like to change, zap, I had it. But that was not what I was thinking about. I think the part of human nature is we pick, and we don't say the things that are good to appreciate. We call them little bouquets, something nice you give to other people, just to remember and appreciate each other. You may say, oh, I'm married, I don't have to do that. When Cheryl and I had our first marriage renewal, we were married 5 years, my dad said, what's the matter? Didn't the first one take? I said, Dad, it's the new thing. By 5 years, you have accumulated so much garbage. You better do something to save a marriage, even if it doesn't seem to be in trouble. You gotta do things that you may not think you need to do. But in so doing, you show love. You show concern. You show, I appreciate you. Because most of the world out there, where we fight the battle, is telling us what's wrong with us rather than what's right with us. Love never gives up. Love never ends. When I was a child, I spoke like one, I thought like one, I reasoned like a child. I have to chuckle with that one because I thought I knew what marriage was. After all, I'm a pastor. And I dare say there may be Roman Catholic priests who think they know what it is too. Truth is, when we are walking those steps, how difficult it can be to really live the love and really comprehend what it is to let go of that selfishness, that self-centeredness, that arrogance that's part of childhood and development usually, and leave that stuff behind and move forward and progress in all human relationships. I put an end to my childish ways, Paul says. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, I will know it all because God has already known me. Now faith, hope, love abide, these three, the greatest of these is love. When we named our daughters, Cheryl and I, in our personal discussion with each other, we agreed with hope, we agreed with faith, and I told Cheryl when she was pregnant with our third child, I'm not going to call a girl Charity, because I had this association in my mind that if some boy in high school looked at my daughter and says, there goes Charity, I'd be upset. So it was Joy. Understand that God too has a sense of humor and that God wants us to grow into love. You're not born with it. The old Adam, the whole teaching of the doctrine of the old Adam is that we're born selfish. We're born self-centered. We have to renounce it, die to it, as Luther would say, and every day lived as a baptized child of God, drowning the old Adam. And when we do that, then rise out of our baptismal waters to newness of life, which is not self-centered. To the gospel lesson. Jesus in the Lucan gospel, continuation from last week's when he opens up the scroll, he says, today this reading is fulfilled in your listening to me. They were all saying, wait a minute. We just caught what he just said to us. They probably wanted to encounter and say, hey, that's one of our boys up there. He's doing fine. Until he says, there's something special about me that sets me apart. And they didn't get it, and they didn't want to get it. And Jesus quotes to them, a prophet is not without honor in his own town. I remember as I was in seminary, several of the women who taught me Sunday school in my years at our home congregation, they would say, oh, be nice if we get Donnie back to be our pastor. I said, gag, gag, gag. I said, you wouldn't hear anything I would say because you'd be doing a comparison. The old and the new, the child and the adult, you have to separate. The hardest thing for me to do is when my mother had a massive heart attack. When she heard within 24 hours, I was going to North Dakota and not Pittsburgh. There was no doubt why she had that heart attack with no prior history. Separation must take place. Jesus is not honored or respected in his own hometown. He's got to get out of there because they're just going to ream him a new one. He talks about a prophet, which is also part of the text we have seen before. He goes on to say, the prophet is here in the midst. He is here addressing you. You see him, but you don't see him. You think of the old Jesus, not the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And because of that, he walked away and left the crowd. We understand that the message is not going to be embraced by everybody. We understand that not everybody wants to have a savior. We understand we think we can fix life in the universe by ourselves. And woe to us who don't call upon Christ, because we miss it. This Epiphany season, may we have the light of God to shine upon us, and let us be reflectors. Sound good? Reflect the light, reflect the love, reflect God to this world. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. We sing our hymn of the day, page 10. Worship continues with our prayers, page 11. Please rise. Scott will lead us.
We pray for the church. Inspire us by your Spirit as we respond to your call. We are reluctant. Strengthen us. When we are doubtful, encourage us. Above all, let your love shine through us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the earth, for the mountains and prairies, cities and farms, rainforests and deserts, awaken us to the mystery and diversity of your creation. Nurture all living things and protect your creations from harm. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the nations, kindle within us a spirit of respect for one another. Protect those fleeing their homes to escape danger or oppression. Bring peace to communities torn apart by warfare and violence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For those in need, protect those who suffer abuse and encourage those who lack hope. Guide all who provide medical care. Comfort those who grieve and bring healing to the sick, especially Iris Cook, Rhonda Crosby, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, John Jaskuski, Jill Harper, Sharon DeSantis, Sharon Cunningham, Jeff Parker, Larry Husband, Ed O'Connor, Doug Abbott, Maria Rompf, Holly Allen and her mother, and Tom Yowett. and be with those serving our nation. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sulier, Paul DeJohn, Jaron Sulier, and Rob Nolan. Be with those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our community. Lord, in your mercy. For this assembly, bless our children and our elders. Gather us into a community guided by your love. Inspire us in the spirit of hospitality and kindness. Teach us to bear one another's burdens with compassion. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to those who have gone before us in faith and who now see face to face. Inspire us by their example and bring us into your everlasting presence, Lord, in your mercy.
We do give thanks, O Lord, for those who have gone before us in the faith. So receive our prayers. Fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. It's kind of like we lost 1 week of time and space in this twilight zone. What was going to be done last Wednesday for the newsletter has to be postponed to this Wednesday. So our crew, if you can be ready, we need to do it this Wednesday. We already had one bump in the road, knowing who's serving today, because they count on, and if they didn't get a postcard, there was some doubt as to whether or not it was their turn to serve at this hour of worship. So we need to get on top of it, keeping information flowing. Also, remember the e-letter. The e-letter has everything that's coming due for the next Sunday. And you'll see names there if it's appointed for you to serve within the context of the service. I've already shared with you the broadcast this day. We're coming up with the anniversary of the congregation in February. We're also coming up very quickly in April for the anniversary of the radio. And then we'll be able to probably say it's been 80 years, not 79, to bring the gospel, our music, our mission, our ministry, and ecumenicity, because we are being listened to by many different denominations. The commonality is God's word. That's what's incredible. It's not what community of faith we came from, but it's where we come together and find our unity in God's word. So that's always neat to appreciate, and that it's been shared so many times. Kind of let you see in the now, there are a variety of things taking place, one of which, just gently remind our membership, this is not a solicitation, just our membership because of whether or not. Last week, our receipt of gifts and tithes was over $1,000 short of what we need. Now, you don't have to watch the snowball roll down the hill, but it gets bigger as the weeks go on and you have that frequency. This is not a threat, it's just a reality when you're dealing with numbers. Just watch those numbers, because we need everybody pulling together to make the mission and ministry of this church happen. And it's wonderful what we do. Remember Kathy's temple talk 2 or 3 weeks ago, Kathy? You were talking about the benevolence of this congregation last year, 2018, over $15,000. And even though we kept trying to tell you we needed your funds and support, it was to enable those ministries too. And you were indeed most generous. So those are the things that keep us to be the people of God. Not just serving self, but serving others, such as love would do. That's what we seek to do for Christ's sake. Many things in your bulletin. You will be getting a newsletter. For those who want it, the e-address is send it to us, and we'll add you to our mailing list. Our worship continues as we sing our offering hymn, We Are an Offering, page 14.
Abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's with this bread, and it's with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death till life as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table and feast on God's abundant life for you. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. During the distribution, we sing to our Lord.
Thank you. Take a drink. Be pardoned our Lord's peace.
We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare. The very life of Christ for us, send your spirit with us now that we may set the captives free. Use your gifts to build one another up and in everything reflect your glory revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The God of glory dwell in you richly, name you beloved, and shine brightly on your path. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn, Alleluia, we sing your praises.
There's only one verse.
Only one verse.
Better walk fast.
Yes. And it's a fast.
To the world and spread the good news.
Thanks be to God.
The neck kid is clear.
Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. That's each Sunday at 8:30 on WPHM, Port Huron.